Hello everyone, let us continue our discussion in our enterprise solution journey. Today we will discuss an important topic, which is enterprise content management. So let us understand what are the nuts and bolts, what are the building blocks of an ECM system as such, how does it relate to the ERP system. So let us bring this down to the nuts and bolts, understand what are the building blocks, and then understand a broader framework in which ECM fits in the overall IT infrastructure strategy of an enterprise company, right? So let us move ahead. So what is ECM? We all know it is enterprise content management, but then what does it stand for? Why is it important? Why are we discussing this? So ECM is a broad framework which encompasses the strategies, methods and tools used to capture, manage, store, preserve and deliver structured and unstructured content and documents which are related to an organizational process, right? So I hope you all have understood this, right? Just kidding. So this is a little difficult to digest. So as I said, let us break it down. This seems very complex at first, but then let us have a proper logical reasoning to each and every aspect, and let us break it down, right? So ECM basically, or the enterprise content. Now we all understand that it's got to do with the content, right? Now we all understand that data is everywhere, information is everywhere, right? But then how does that data fit into a company's business perspective? So ECM as a broad framework, it helps to streamline the life cycle of information and the documents that are present in organization, and it automates the process workflows. Right, so we have a lot of information, a lot of data, but then how do I segregate that data into meaningful chunks? How do I then automate the entire process flow around it? So say for example, if there is a file and I've stored a file somewhere, right, which contains say for example customer information, then how do I ensure that there's a proper process that is stitched around it so that this file can be used by the different departments as it moves in the organization? So it is very critical for any organization as such which have a very large amount of content, right? And so you need a basically an ECM plan to eliminate the operational inefficiencies around it, reduce the cost so that the data can be useful, and more importantly it has to adhere to and regulatory framework, right? So there are a lot of governing policies around the data. There are many data management laws. So the data privacy is something which we all hear about, right? So how does ECM help to build a regulatory framework around the data that is already existing in the organization? Now we will change our language from data and information to content, because content is more specific to our organization. So let us just understand the difference between data, information, content. Now data is everywhere, right? So it's more generic as such. The raw amount of bits and bytes that an organization gets is the raw data. Now when this data gets converted into something meaningful, it's actually the information, right? And the content, it comes from the information and the data. So when the data gets processed, information gets processed, you actually get the real content, which is the business specific content. So let us understand what role does ECM have to play. Now we understood that ECM is a broader framework to ensure that the content in the organization is flowing properly, it is adhering to the regulatory frameworks, it is making business sense, right? So say for example, say something like a bank, or there are a lot of content companies, right? So say for example something like Netflix, right? So Netflix has a lot of content. Now this is digital content, right? So this digital content, how does it make sense in the organization? Who are the users? How do I filter those content? So these are the things that come into picture when we talk about a ECM system. Take an example of ICICI Bank, right? So ICICI Bank, I think recently, probably what, not recently as such, but 2-3 years before, it came up with a concept called as ICICI Tab Banking. Now what was Tab Banking? It wanted to reduce the overall time it took to open an account, right? So all the documents or the physical documents that are available, and what are the background processes and all that are involved. So basically, it involved this tap banking as such involved around automating the entire physical journey of opening an account, and everything was digitized. So right from say the account opening form. So entering the details online, then scanning say the identity proofs, probably doing a eKYC of the UIDAI, so the Aadhaar based eKYC which was done online, right, and getting the other background verifications check done online. So it helps to basically minimize the journey and minimize the time it took to open a savings account. So this was the actual advantage of the ICICI tap banking, and believe me, ECM played a very important role, because it was the document management, the process flow that we spoke about, how each form has to load, how the form has to go to the next level after the first level of background verification is done, how it has to link with the different government agencies in terms of the regulatory framework. So all these were a part of the regulatory and the compliance framework, and also the document management system played a big part as far as the ECM was concerned, right? So this is a very powerful example of ECM. Now let us go back to the definition and try to understand it. So ECM again is a broad framework that which encompasses the strategies, methods and tools. So these are the different ways in which information and data can be captured, and the tools that are used to capture that information. So I've captured the customer data, then I manage it, then I store it. Store and preserve are two different aspects to it, and we will spend some time in discussing those. And then deliver the content, right? Structured and unstructured content is something that we will talk about in greater detail. Okay, so now let us understand what are the different components involved in ECM. So first is the capture, right? So capture is a component which involves creating of the information. Now this information can either be in a physical form, that is a paper document, or it could be a raw information which has to be captured into the content. So if it's a paper based documents, then converting those paper based paper trails into the electronic formats, obtaining and collecting the electronic files or the information in a proper structure, and organizing this information. So it's all part of the capture procedure. Now this information can include either contracts, it could include forms, it could include invoices, research reports, it could include say background verification documents. So it could be whole host of documents. So basically just to understand it in a nutshell, so let us relate each and every component to say the banking example, right? So in case of the capture, what happens is you've entered all the customer details, so that's a part of the capture. Then something like address verification, so you've basically taken a photograph of the passport or the license or whatever, and so what you've done is a copy of that has been stored electronically. So earlier what used to happen was you used to submit the physical documents and then they used to scan it, right? But now what we are doing with the help of ECM is we are directly getting it into a electronic format. So it forms a part of the capture procedure. The second component is the manage component. Now the manage component, it connects, modifies and employs information through different means, such as the document management, the collaboration software, the web content management and record management. Now let us understand what does this do. So the manage component, so once you have the electronic formats in place, now what do I do with that content, correct? So how do I manage the entire workflow around it? So say, can I relate, can I put this, or can I pass this information through a document management system? Can I design a proper workflow around it? Can I have some web tools to say, for example, distribute this content to people across the globe, or can I have some kind of record management system just to maintain the regulatory compliance? So this forms a part of the manage component. So let us understand the third component, which is the store component. Now and as I said, let us understand this in a little more detail, because the store component and the preserve component are more or less the similar, right? So let us understand what does store mean. So whenever there is any information or whenever there is some component which involves a lot of frequent use, right, then it doesn't really make sense to have this information at the back end. So say for example information which changes very frequently, so you would want to keep it with you, or probably you would want to keep it near to you rather than putting it in an archival system, right? So the store component temporarily backs up the frequently changing information. So just stressing on the word frequently changing information in the short term, with flexible folder structures to allow users to edit and process that information. So that is the store component. So the key point here to remember is it helps to back up the frequently changing information. Whereas the preserve component, it backs up the infrequently changing information in the medium term and the long term. So while the store component was more to do with that information flow in the short term, this has got to do with the medium term and the long term, and is usually accomplished through record management systems. So say for example a bank, right? A bank is supposed to maintain their transaction histories for 7 years. Now this is a classic case of the preserve component. If you happen to do a internet banking, right? So what you can do is you can actually look up your transactions for a year. So you can see the history for 365 days. But anything beyond a year, you would have to basically archive those systems. So archive those records in place. So you might have to submit a request to the bank to generate, say, records 2 years back, 3 years back, and so on. So that forms a part of the archival system, which is nothing but a preserve component. Now it is very important for organization to comply to the preserve use cases as far as the regulatory framework is concerned, right? So we understood the difference between the preserve and the store components. The store has got to do with the short term and the regular use. So say if my transactions, the day-to-day transactions, the three-month transaction summary, things like that. So that forms a part of my store component. The preserve components are the archives or the logs. So say if there's a income tax inquiry where you are supposed to submit your transaction summaries for 5 years, right? So you will not have this information from your internet banking. You will have to submit a request to the bank, and they will then process that request and provide you this information which they will retrieve from the archives. Now because this information is not used daily, so they push this information into archives, and then you have to actually archive, get the information back from the archives, which takes a little time. So that is why you have to differentiate between the two. And cost, mind you, plays a very important role when you have to differentiate between these two information. So one is a frequently changing information which you need it for your day-to-day consumption, so which you store it as, say for example, a local drive. And then so simply related, right? So one is storing information on your laptop or your computer which you require it for a day-to-day use, and the second is probably, you know, backing it up on a Google Drive or on your native hard drive, right? So that it could be used whenever you need it. So it's basically an archival system as such. And the last component is a deliver component, right? So the deliver component provides the end users with the kind of requested information. So it's as simple. So the information that you've got, how do I make sense out of it? Whenever there is a user that is requesting that information, how do I deliver that information? That simply put forms a part of the deliver component. So it could be further broken down into three subgroups. One is the transformation technologies. One is the security frameworks, how securely the data has to be delivered. And third is the actual distribution of that particular information. Right, so let us look at the broad level components. So we said that the different components that are involved in ECM are the capture, which includes storing of that information through different means. Second is managing the data that is captured. So it modifies the employee records, modifies the different workflows around it. The third and the fourth are the store and the preserve. So one is for the short-term day-to-day use. The preserve component is more for archival, and the medium-term and the long-term usage of that particular data. And the last component is the deliver component. So deliver is something that you deliver the stored content to the final users of the information. Right, so now that we have seen what the high level components in a ECM system are, let us look back to how ECM actually evolved and how does it make business sense for a company to deploy ECM as a component. So, the kind of content that is managed by ECM today, earlier it used to get managed by the physical systems, right? The same example of the banking, right? The tab banking. So, it included basically conversion of the data from the physical form to the digital form and so on. So, it basically took a lot of time to process that information. The third is it also helps to manage the web content. Now, with the proliferation of the web 2.0 and a lot of things getting done online, right? So, it makes all the more business sense for a company to invest in a lot of resources which help the digital enablement of a company and in turn help the customers reach the end goals faster, right? So, ECM also helps to manage the web content and things like rapid search, retrieval, online collaboration tools, and digital asset management and workflow of the documents in organization. It helps to facilitate those. So, in doing so, ECM boosts the effectiveness, encourages the collaboration and makes the information easier to share across the organization. Another perspective of ECM is that of a software product or a tool set where ECM consists of a set of application softwares with capabilities for managing the content lifecycle management and interoperate. But it has to be sold and used separately. Now, what does this mean? So, there are a lot of software modules that are available. So, say we spoke about the document management system, we spoke about the records management, we spoke about the web content management, right? So, these could be individual modules that could fit in a broader framework, and then it could be collaborated in the ECM as such. To make all the more business sense. So, let us understand the concepts and benefits of enterprise content management. So, let us start with the evolution of ECM. So, ECM earlier in its earlier avatar, it was termed as EDSM. So, that is nothing but electronic data management systems in the early 1980s. And the early versions of the EDSMs were basically they were all standalone systems like we've discussed in ERP, like we've discussed in the SCM, SRM modules, CRM modules. So, the earlier versions were basically standalone modules and they could provide information such as a bit of workflow management, a bit of digital image processing and a bit of document management. So, the earlier leaders, already offered multiple standalone technologies as we spoke, and the first phase was for the multiple systems to work together as a single functional unit. But then the early systems, the systems of the 1980s, they had absolutely little or no integration across the organization. So, what gradually happened? Throughout the 1990s, this integration of the content across the organization, it increased, right? And the system became more of a cohesive system where the enterprise content was related to each and every function in the organization. So, there was basically a lot of disagreement when the ECM was actually formed as to what are the different components. Now, there was one faction which said that the content management in ECM, it includes everything. So, right from the document management to the web web content management. And then there was the other section which said that no, the content management has to do only with the documents, but the web content has to be dealt with separately because the web content is really dynamic in nature. It has to change to the business needs. It's very user friendly as such, right? Very interactive with the user. So, probably this data keeps on changing, whereas the document management system has got to do with very strong workflows to be designed around it, So say how that document flows in the system, how each and every business unit approves a particular document as it flows through the system. So these were part of the document management. So there was a disagreement on the use of content management in ECM, encompassing all the contents included, including the documents, and that on the web, as the skill sets and the techniques and the resources needed to manage a website were subsequently different, substantially different from those from the document management, as we discussed. So content management was primarily, it had to do with the website or the web content. So say the entire graphical representation, the user interface and stuff like that, as compared to a document management system, which was primarily it had to do with the workflows, the organizing and the processing of the large amounts of data sets, the internal users, how do you have that approval system in place and things like that. Also, if we see the tool sets that are required to manage the web content are different, and those of the document management system are different, right? So for the web content, you would use the front end systems or the web pages, as we call them. So they could be coded in a Java, HTML, .NET, and these are the tools basically. And the document management system, it as we said, right, so it involves the process flows and stuff. So the document management system involves the database design, the business process analytics, the archival methodologies, and the specialized product for reading and deciphering the unstructured documents. Right. So let us understand what are the subsets. So we have ECM systems in the center. We spoke about the document management systems, which have to do with the documents that flow in organization, the different workflows around it. Then there is a web content management, which have got to do with the dynamically changing content, how it interfaces with the web 2.0, the website building, and the other interactive web applications. The fourth component is the digital asset management. So we will dive a little deeper into what digital assets for a company are. So it could be, say for example, if it's a training company, say something like a Byju's learning app, right? So it has got a lot of content which it has on its portal. So that is the digital asset that it has. So how do I ensure that this digital content reaches to the right user? How this content flows in the internal portal, what is the subscription timeline, how it ties to the security framework, as in who can access, from where they can access, what they can access, right? So this is part of the digital asset management. And the fourth is the enterprise portal. Now each company or each large enterprise would have its own internal portal which it will use to disseminate information to its employees and its other stakeholders. So how does that information system, the internal information system, flow, right? So either it could flow through emails, but then it's absolutely absurd, right, to have emails as a proper workflow mechanism. So what it is done in today's environment is there's an internal portal, and on this portal there are a lot of different stuff. So say for example, from the HR perspective, you would have a file or a section which is delivered to the organization policies and the organization frameworks, and which could contain say policies like leave travel, which could contain policies like the salary, you know, the different HR policies, when to take a leave and stuff like that. Say for example, from say HR and a payroll system, so it would have a different enterprise portal where people could make their investment declaration, get their payroll information, download their form 16s and stuff like that. So this could be a part of internal enterprise portal, and there could be this different smaller say functional units. So say the payroll management could be a different software unit, then it could be integrated in the part of the enterprise portal. Similarly, the HR portal could be a part of the enterprise portal. So this is an enterprise internal portal that we are talking about. So broadly speaking, the enterprise content management, it would have four different subsystems to it. One is the document management system, the web content management, the digital asset management, and the enterprise portal management.